ask an interest in your prayers tonight. Feel the presence of the Holy Spirit here tonight. My heart is very heavy. It's rejoicing on one hand, and it's rejoicing because of all that our Savior has provided for each and every one of us. He provided the means of our salvation, which means that when we recognize that we are lost, there is a place to go to Jesus and ask for forgiveness. And He made provision for our salvation. I rejoice tonight because when we get started on the journey, when we find that we're lacking, there is a place that God made provision for us to find power. Power to do what we've been hearing about in this meeting. Power to live a holy life. Power to do what the Bible teaches us to do. I'm also thankful that in times of grief, there's a place to go for comfort. But my heart is heavy tonight because, as I sat over there and I listened to these beautiful songs tonight, some of you are not going to make it. The Lord showed me a vision of some walking out and losing their soul. And that's almost too much to contain. It's almost too much when we think about the reality of eternity. I had an event happen last week. It was a little bit embarrassing to me. If you all would have seen me, I was afraid you would. I was leaving the graveside service of Sister Marilyn. And I don't know Kansas real well. And I got into the nearest town, and I stopped at a McDonald's, went in, washed my hands, got something to eat, and I came back out to the car, and I just sat in the car to eat. And right before I finished, I decided to get on my journey, and I pulled out, came up to a light, and I looked there and I saw a policeman, and I decided not to pull up quite close to him. And I thought, I didn't buckle my seatbelt. So I reached over there and buckled up and turned the corner, and he pulled me over. I was afraid you all would see me. He came up and I said, "What did I do?" Because I knew I wasn't speeding. I had used my blinker, all of that. He said, "When I first saw you," he said, "you didn't have your seatbelt on." And I said, "You're right." I said, "I didn't." Just for your information, we are in a couple of weeks nationally of click it or ticket. Okay? We're still in that time. So just take heed. Because the thing about it is, and he was nice, and Brother James isn't here to listen to what I said to the officer either. But he almost half apologized for not having mercy. But the thing is, I had intended to put my seatbelt on. And I would have. I would have, but I was occupied. I was busy. It was because if I would have come right out and gotten the car and taken off, I probably would have put it on. And the dean usually gets me. I'll put it on to silence it at some point. But I was busy. I was eating. And I thought, I'll go ahead and get started. And I started my journey. And shortly down the road, I would have gotten it on. And I planned to. I needed to. And I was going to. But I got caught. And the law says, you wear your seatbelt. I didn't feel quite so bad after he handed me the ticket and it was $10. I believe it's over $100 here. $100, $180, somewhere in that range. I felt a little bit of relief when I saw the 1-0 and he said, and there's no court costs. He said, if you're going to contest it, and I said, no, it's fine. But do you know this tonight that my intentions and my knowledge that I needed to wear my seatbelt, it made no difference when it came time for judgment. And tonight there are things in our life, saved and unsaved alike, that we can look at and say, I need to. How many tonight need to be saved? But do you know there's a place that our needs need to meet, our wants? And the reason is because I have sat by the bedside of a man that said, I need to be saved. And he went out into eternity, as far as I know, unprepared to meet God. And he acknowledged, I need to. But he had put it off for so long that he didn't follow through and do what he needed to do. It reminds us of another man. You know the story over in Acts 24, if you'll turn with me and read. Acts 24, verse 24 of Acts. It said, after certain days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Tonight, have you heard the faith concerning Christ? Aren't we a blessed people tonight? All of us, we have been a blessed people because we have heard about Jesus Christ. We have heard about salvation. We have heard about deliverance. We have heard about what the Lord can do for us. We've heard about the freedom and the liberty and the peace that Christ can give. But folks, it is not enough to hear about it tonight. He said he heard concerning the faith in Christ and he reasoned. In other words, he gave due diligence to consider and think about the things he was hearing. Sometimes when you hear something, we all do, don't you? You just kind of turn things off. Felix listened. And he thought about it. And he meditated on it. And he reasoned of righteousness and of temperance and also of judgment to come. And Felix trembled. Do you know tonight, we all ought to be trembling when we really start reasoning of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. There is going to come a night or a day when you least expect it, when we don't expect it, folks, the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. And there's not going... What do you think I would have done pulling out of McDonald's if I knew there's a police that is looking for people that don't have their seatbelts on? What do you think I would have done? I'll tell you what, the last fry wouldn't have mattered quite as much. It wouldn't have mattered. It was a $10 French fry. But it could have been a whole lot worse. I can handle that. But folks, I cannot handle the judgment of God tonight unless I have the blood of Jesus applied. We're going to stand before God that we are so used tonight to the mercy of God being extended to us. There is coming a time that the Lord is going to judge us. And it's not going to cut it when we say, Lord, I plan to do it. I plan to ask you to forgive me. I plan to make things right with my wife. I plan to ask my husband to forgive me. I plan to go back to those that I hurt. Lord, I plan to fix things. It's not going to be enough, folks. Our plans and our purposes at the judgment are going to mean nothing. And that tells me tonight that when I begin to look in my own life and consider I need to, when is the time to take care of it? Because Felix trembled and it said, he answered and he said, go thy way for this time. And when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Where was it? in the scripture that Felix called for Paul to come back? Do you know where it was? We don't read about it, do we? Do you know in life, I'm someone that makes lists. I sit down, not every day, not every week, but a lot of times, if you come into my office, you can look beside my computer and there's a list. It's a to-do list. These are the things that I need to do. And there have been some revolving things on my I need to list for a year and a half. Because there's other things that I'm doing. But I still need to get to them one day. I still need to do them. I need to do this. I need to write this person. I need to study this. I need to write that. I need to get ready for... And so there are some things that I need to do. I wonder tonight if we were all to reach into our little spiritual file and pull out a list and say, this is my to-do list. This is what I need to do. I'm not so interested in how many of us need to go home and mow the lawn this weekend. Not so interested in who you need to email. Not so interested in tonight the business things that you need to take care of. Because, you know, eventually those things aren't really going to matter. But I wonder tonight, what is on our spiritual I need to do list? What's on it? Too often we say, well, I need to get saved. Why aren't you saved? Scripture asks a question. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How shall we escape? Tonight, if you're not saved and you acknowledge that you need to be, when is there going to be a better time? When do you think it's going to be more convenient? Folks, the devil is interested. I don't know that there's ever going to be a convenient time. And that means we need to recognize the need is so great that, Lord, tonight I'm not going to wait any longer. I'm not going to keep it on my I need to list anymore. But, Lord, I'm going to do it. And I tell you, at the end of the day, it is such a blessing. When I have my list, written out. And when I get something done, I don't just like put an X by it. But a lot of times I just like to scribble it out. It's gone. Don't have to worry about that anymore. Do you know what a relief and blessing it is to look at that I need to list and just get to the end of the day and say, this is wonderful. Look how much got crossed off of that list. Folks, there is one thing that is more important tonight than anything else, and that is your salvation. What are you going to do when the Lord deals with you and you know you need to ask God to forgive you? When is it going to be better? And if you stay on the road that you're on tonight, where's it going to take you? There is never a more convenient time. And when the Lord gives us opportunity like tonight, and we say, I need to, then we need to come to the Lord and do something about it. Because Felix trembled and he said, when I have a convenient time, but it never came, I need to make restitution. Tonight you might be saved, but do you have a I need to list? I do. Because you're saved doesn't mean you don't have a spiritual I need to list. But I want it to be that if you looked at the list tonight, I could say these are some things I need to do and I'm working on that. And I'm praying about this and I'm asking God to strengthen me here. And I'm asking the Lord and I'm doing what I can and I'm waiting for the day that I can cross it off because I've reached where the Lord wanted. Tonight, there are some restitutions that people have had on their list for way too long. Some things that need to be cleared up from your past. Some things that need to be cleared that your testimony can shine a little bit brighter. That the Lord can use you a little more effectively. But folks, it doesn't happen if there have been things in your past that the Spirit of God, I'm not talking about being overly sensitive tonight, because the devil can work on that side of it too. But when you know the Spirit of the Lord has revealed things to you that you need to clear up, and it's on your to-do list, I plan to make restitution. Folks, we're going to stand before God one day, and He's going to look at that. He's going to see how we've been living our life. And I want Him to know that, Lord, I took these spiritual needs seriously in my life. When You came and You talked to me and You showed me I had a problem, Lord, I'm taking it to heart. And I may not be there tonight, but by Your grace, I'm going to get there and I'm going to freely acknowledge, yes, I need to, Lord, and I'm doing what I can by Your help. So what's on your need list, your to-do list tonight? I need to forgive. Brother Austis used to teach us, I've quoted that many times, but I don't need to quote Brother Austis really on it. I believe the Scripture tells us enough about forgiveness. He said that he thought there were going to probably be more professing saints, and that gets to where we live. Miss heaven over unforgiveness more than anything else. Tonight, we do not have the power over anybody else. We have no power to change how people treat us and how they talk to us. But folks, I need to forgive. I don't want to stand before the Lord and the Lord look at me and say, Michael, why didn't you forgive them? Because didn't I tell you that if you don't forgive others their trespasses, that I won't forgive you? And I wonder if we'd say, well, Lord, I plan to. I needed to, and I plan to. Folks, unless we follow through on the need to's, we're going to give an account before God. I don't want to miss heaven over bitterness in my heart. I don't want to miss heaven over what someone else did, because I didn't come and say, Lord, I need some power to let this thing go, that it doesn't keep holding me back spiritually. There's been some said in this meeting about the problems in marriages. I've heard people all over the country and beyond that, solid saints saying they are struggling as never before. The devil is attacking people's homes. And when we examine these things, and that we know the Scripture says for husbands to love your wives as Christ, love the church. We heard that, I believe, last night. Say, yes, I need to do that. Husbands, when are you going to start? I trust you are. But it's not going to be enough to say, I need to. It's going to say, Lord, I'm going to take care of business. Wives, to respect your husband and to treat him with honor. And you think, well, he's so frustrating. But there's a place you have to start leaving that with the Lord too. And start saying, I know I need to start watching my words more carefully. I know I need to quit being impatient. I know I need to. But folks, growth does not come from just recognizing the need. It comes by letting the desire and the want to, coupled with the need, bringing it to Christ. And beginning to work and pray and seek the Lord for victories and grace and deliverance. I need to say, I'm sorry. When judgment comes, the Scripture teaches us that there's not going to be any more time to pray. Isn't that right? That's almost hard to imagine, because we're so used to having these opportunities. And when we get around to it, we can start doing business with God. The burden is tonight, now's the time to get around to it. Because when the Lord comes back, it's not going to be based upon what we intended to do. Do you have spiritual intentions tonight? Things you need to do spiritually? We heard a message last night about holiness. And if you know the scripture, even whether or not if you like it or not what was preached last night, if you know the scripture, you'd have to acknowledge that, yes, that's true. I need to do what I heard. But expressing a need is not going to change what you're doing on a daily basis unless you bring that need to the Lord Jesus. That Brother Clint talked about, I guess my phone's not with me. He pulled out to mention the phone. Do you know you've got the world in your pocket? If you have a smartphone, you've got the world in your pocket. Well, I need to make some changes. I know what I heard last night. I need to. When is that going to happen? The reality is, folks, that if we do not begin to address our needs when the Lord shows them to us, that the dealings of the Spirit are going to begin to get fainter and fainter in our life. And think about, and you can turn and read, but over in Proverbs chapter 24, he said, I went by the field of the slothful. And he said, and I beheld it. I'm putting this into my own words now, but he said, I walked by the field of the farmer and I beheld it. And he said, I took instruction. And I looked at the field and the wall was broken down. And there were weeds and thistles growing across the field. And I wondered, what happened to that? Do you know that that condition did not happen overnight? But it came through a process of time and neglect. He said, a little slumber. And a little sleep, a little folding of the hands to sleep, he said, so shall thy poverty come. Folks, tonight the Lord has blessed us with so much. The Lord has been so good to all of us tonight. And you say, well, I wonder what that farmer said. I need to go out and rebuild the wall so the cattle can't get out. I need to go fix the fence. I need to go out and put fertilizer on the crops. I need to go out and do some weeding. But the reality is, he didn't get to it because he neglected it. Folks, there is great danger tonight in neglecting the needs of our spiritual soul. It's not always about great rebellious things. It's not always that I'm going to go out and just turn my back on God and go a different way. But we can be right under the sound of the gospel and sing and pray and testify and teach Sunday school and preach. And be neglectful of the needs of our soul. Those needs are going to catch up with us unless we're willing to humble our hearts and acknowledge that, Lord, I recognize that I need to, and I don't want to leave it on a list that when I come back next year at this same meeting, I'm still going to say, oh, it's still on my list. I still need to do something about that. Because somewhere down the line, folks, it may be tonight. I don't know when it is. But the Lord Jesus is going to come back. And your plans and intentions will not be an effective argument when you stand before the judgment seat of God. Neglect. The longer we delay dealing with the needs in our life on our spiritual to-do list, they get harder and harder to take care of. I was amazed, and those of you that deal with this frequently wouldn't be as amazed as I was, but had a tree that we've had in our yard for 10 years. And it was sad to me that right when it was starting to look beautiful, it split. So I cut it down, but I knew that it was on my to-do list to take out that stump. You know, that thing stayed there for a year before I got to it. I finally got to it. And amazingly enough, it took a lot of sweat and energy and effort to dig and cut to get that thing out of my yard. I didn't want to just take the surface off and cover it up with dirt. You can do that spiritually if you want. But folks, when you cover something up and everybody thinks it's taken care of, the roots are still there. I wanted to plant something better. I wanted something that would bring forth fruit. So I needed to get it out. Some of those roots were just as big as what the trunk of that tree was. And there are spiritual things, the longer we delay in taking care of things in our life, folks, those roots are growing and getting bigger. The scripture talks about lest any root of bitterness springing up, thereby many be what? Defiled. Because they didn't get taken care of soon enough. The little things that happen in life, when the Lord comes along and says, take care of it. And you said, all right, Lord, I need to do that. Now is the time. Because if you put it off, it's going to get harder and harder to take care of the needs that are in our life. And the dangerous thing is, one of the other dangers is what exactly what happened in Revelation in one of the congregations. He said, you say that you're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But he said, you're blind and wretched and naked, and all the time you have this high profession of spiritual prosperity. And he said, the reality is you've got so many needs, you don't even recognize it anymore. Folks, this is the danger tonight. When we know we have a spiritual need, if we put it off, the danger in delay is that eventually you may actually forget that you even have a need. And eventually, and this is where deception comes from. We've all seen it. Over and over, people know what is right and they depart from it, and it doesn't take very long before they can sit and they act like their conscience is totally clear. Don't see anything wrong with it. I don't feel bad about it. But it took some work to get to that point. You had to ignore the dealings of the Spirit of God for long enough to get to the place that you thought you were okay spiritually, and all the time the need is there. Tonight, you have a list. I need to. What are you going to do with it tonight? What are you going to do with it? There was a story of a man that was in an asylum for 25 years, and he said two words. Over and over and over, he said, too late, too late, too late, too late. Someone asked someone there, they said, what is he saying? Why is he saying this? And they said he was a keeper of the tracks, the train tracks. And they said the man was out and he was neglecting his job and he was picking flowers along the track. He reached out and was picking flowers, and then he saw and heard the train coming too late. And he failed to switch the tracks like he should have. And it caused many, many people to lose their life. The man couldn't handle it. And he lost his rational mind. It was too late. Why was it too late? Because he neglected. He neglected the things that he knew he needed to do. Would you turn with me as we bring this to a close tonight? Would you turn with me to Matthew 25? Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. The thing about this story of the 10 virgins, which you know so well, is that Jesus was not talking about people of the world. That brings a fear on my heart tonight. He wasn't talking about people out in the world that don't have any profession of salvation. He said there were 10 virgins. Represents purity. Separation from the world. And it said 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps, and they took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They were looking forward, dealing with the needs that they were going to have to be ready to meet the bridegroom. And it said, when the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Do you notice tonight that the wise slept? Do you know that we are in a very spiritually sleepy time in this generation? People who are saved are so easily getting rocked to sleep. Because the more tired you get, your inhibitions are lowered, your resistance is less, you're less observant, and you're less careful. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." The Lord was coming back. It's time. It's time to come and meet the bridegroom. And it said, all the virgins rose and they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." The oil is representative of the Holy Spirit, that which keeps us taking care of the things on our I need to list. Is not that the Holy Spirit that does that? And 5 of them asked, "Can you give me some of your oil?" And the wise said, "Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you." The condition of souls around about you, as spiritual as they might be, are not going to be sufficient when we stand before the judgment seat of God. That you are here tonight is not going to gain you entrance into heaven. But what you do with what you have heard from the Spirit in your personal life, that is going to make an eternal difference tonight. "I can't give you any oil, lest there not be enough for us and you, but go rather to them that sell and buy." And there's much in here, but I think you get the point. "While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went to meet with him to the marriage, and the door was shut." It's over. It's finished. No more restitutions. No more time to say, "I'm sorry." No more time to go and fix your relationships. And do you know, saved people have relationships that need fix sometimes. No more time to say, "Lord, would you give me victory and deliver me from that unforgiveness I have in my heart?" No more time, friend, tonight, to those that have sin in their life that say, "I intend to get saved one day because I know I need to." But that's only going to do you good if you follow through with it tonight and listen to the Spirit of God speaking to your heart. The other 5 came back and they said, "Lord, would you open to us?" And he said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch ye therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." We are in a very sleepy time spiritually tonight. But there is provision made for every sinner that is here. There has been provision made that you can leave here free from your sin. And if you look on your little list tonight, your spiritual list, I need to. If it says to be saved, would you come and give your heart to the Lord tonight? Because one day, it's going to be too late. And one of the greatest, I believe one of the greatest sufferings of hell is going to be in the remembrance of the opportunities when we knew what we needed to do and we didn't do it. And for those that are saved tonight, don't neglect the things on your list tonight. Don't put them off. But if there's things, whether it's been in this meeting or maybe it's been some years, that you know that you've been coming short of that holiness that we heard about last night. Are we not still moved by the call of holiness from the Lord? That's dangerous, folks. But when the Lord shows us the carefulness of conduct and word and lifestyle and relationship with God, when He shows us those things and we say, I need to be more careful. I need to kind of adjust that. I need to stop. Folks, let's not leave it on the list. But we can come with our list tonight and we can start working till we can get to the place that we can cross it out and say, thank you, Lord. Let's not stop working tonight. As we stand and sing, would you examine what's on your list? I need to, but it's up to you what you do with that tonight. Amen.